well with those Twix bars. Have you ever had those frozen? Yeah, stick them in the freezer. They're really good frozen. Not as good as Snickers frozen, but still really good frozen, by the way. Anyway. But it's good to be back with you all. Thank you for having me with you this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to open the Word with you. I'll take 1 minute to give a review of the family. Andrew is in Northern California. He works with Enterprise. He's been there about a year and a half. Amanda has been working on the set of a movie with Ryan Gosling. Listen to the ladies gasp. And she has met Ryan, says he's as handsome in person as he is in real life, and he's also very sweet, she says. Chris Evans, Captain America, was also in that movie. So, she's done with that and thinking about her future, thinking about whether to move to Phoenix and start a business of her own or to stay out there in California. She's not quite sure. So appreciate your prayers for her as well. Caleb and Kennedy are married 2 years now, living in Florida. He still works for Prudential, and they live only 40 minutes from where Lynn and I like to vacation. So that's kind of a nice blessing. And then Brandon and Grace and their two kids, our two grandkids, are in Dubuque doing real well. So and Linda is still in the kitchen in Emmaus directing food services there. So thank you for prayers for her as well. And so thank you for having me, and I'm still in the financial services industry. So Friday, I went to visit, kind of on the way here, I visited a camp in southeast Iowa called Camp Appanoose, and the director of the camp, his name is Pat, and Pat and I have kind of slowly becoming friends, he's kind of asked me to do a little help in the fundraising at the camp, and I used to be in fundraising at Emmaus, and so that's a thought, and I'm going to help him a little bit along those lines, do some estate planning for some of their donors and offer that to them, and see how that goes and try to help out the camp. It's a great camp. Camp Appanoose. I've been there a few times before, and just had a really enjoyable time driving down, being with him. He walked me around the camp and updated me what's up with the ministry. It's a beautiful camp. We had a really nice lunch together with him and his son, and then of course I went fishing because they have some ponds at their camp, and caught some fish too, and that was fun too. So what an enjoyable day. Then I went and camped out, and so just enjoying some of the simple pleasures of life, right? And good friend, some good food, some recreation, some working on, serving at this camp a little bit, and just a nice easy day of just simple pleasures of life. And I've been thinking and praying about what to speak here, I was thinking, there's a lot of just really nice pleasures of living life here on earth, right? A lot of us know that the song, What a Wonderful World. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark starry night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow so pretty in the sky are also on the faces of people walking by. I see friends shaking hands saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, and I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. And what I love that song. I sometimes there are a few signs in there. The author may have been a Christian because he says, they write, "I see them bloom for me and you. The roses bloom for me and you." Anyway, wonderful blessings of being on, here on earth, that if this were all there was, you'd say, okay, there's kind of some fun things, right? Some neat, simple pleasures in life. There's another song that came out about 30 years ago. I'll read the lyrics to this one. "From a distance, the world looks blue and green and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream and the eagles takes to flight. From a distance, there is harmony and it echoes through the land. It's the voice of hope, the voice of peace, it's the voice of every man. From a distance, we all have enough and no one is in need. And there are no guns, no bombs, and no disease, no hungry mouths to feed. From a distance, we are instruments marching in a common band, playing songs of hope, songs of peace. They are the songs of every man." And what do you think of that song? Hey, you really have to be at quite a distance to take that song too seriously. Now, the first song, I can buy it. There are some nice, simple pleasures of life we can enjoy. The book of Ecclesiastes even speaks of such a thing, you know, just enjoying simple pleasures of life. But you really have to be at a distance to pretend there are no bombs and no diseases here in this world, right? The reality is this is a tough world. There's some great blessings to enjoy, especially here in America. A whole lot of other parts of the world, their life is mainly suffering. And even in our part of the world, there's a lot of suffering that we go through. And we've, here in America, we've gone through a tough year and a half or so, right, with COVID. Think about the effects that that has had on our lives. It's been harder to meet with people here in the local church and other settings, harder to meet with people. And so we miss people. One of the assemblies I preach at occasionally, one of the older guys, he's 75 or 80, and he lost his wife about a year ago. And so last summer, I asked him, you know, what was it? And he said, well, technically it's not COVID, but we say it's from COVID because she, you know, he used to go and visit her every day. She was in the nursing home. Every day he would go and visit her. But they said, nope, you can't come in. And so she just withered away, lost her will to live, and died. And so we say, you know, it's kind of from COVID. And so COVID was hard. Now, a lot of us weren't affected at all. Some of us were affected and had it, and maybe it wasn't a big deal. Some people had it, and it was a huge deal, and some people passed away from it. One good friend of my kids, his name is Caleb, not my Caleb, but a different Caleb. He's 29, and he had COVID. He had a fever of 103 for 2 weeks. Anyway, but he survived. But a lot of people didn't survive, including some people we know. And so COVID has been real hard. We've had some loved ones here at Atlantic Gospel Chapel who have passed away in the past year. Peg, we so saddened to hear about her and about Howard, and then so suddenly with Georgia passing away. Not sure if anyone else in the past year since I've been here. Seems every time I come, somebody has passed away. I should probably not come back, right? Then nobody will die. That's not how that works, is it? But it can be really hard. And so COVID's been hard. Losing loved ones has been hard. Of course, we had the elections was a difficult and frustrating thing for a whole lot of folks. The riots here in America, around the country, was just all sorts of frustrating things. And so I say, enjoy the little things. God is pleased to have us enjoy a beautiful sunset or enjoy some good food. But I think one thing that I've noticed is that a whole lot of believers, conservative evangelical Christians like ourselves, a whole lot of us are thinking so much about COVID, so much about politics, so much about the economy, so much about all sorts of things, that we're not thinking very much about what's next. And it's as if we're forgetting that this is not our home. And you know the hymn, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." Is Anna here? Anna Young? No. Do you remember the time Anna did her little dance to that song? The quartet was standing here up front singing, and I'm pretty sure it was that song. And halfway through the song, I look over, and Anna was in the front row, and she's bent over like this, shaking her head. And she had the long hair, and so that's the closest I ever knew to what it's like being in a rock concert. But this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And we seem to forget that. And so I thought, I'd like to spend some time thinking about our real home, not earth, not this world, but thinking about our real home. And we should, of course, many of our thoughts are going to be of this earth. Jesus thought a lot about this physical earth. When he healed people physically, he turned water into wine. It's a physical thing. He was thinking about the physical, but so much more, so much greater is the heavenly. And so I'd like to just look at various passages about heaven, about what's next, without getting too deep into the theology and, you know, this and that, but just look at a few things about what's next, and just to keep heaven in our thoughts, that we would be heavenly-minded Christians. John chapter 14, John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And so I have 5 points here to think about here regarding heaven. One is that we can have peace knowing what's ahead for us. Let not your hearts be troubled. The disciples had reason to have troubled hearts, having been warned about what's ahead for him, for Jesus himself. But he says instead, let not your hearts be troubled. And then he gives reason to not be troubled, including their future. And their future is ours. And I speak to you as if we're all believers in Jesus Christ. I don't know if that's the case. I hope it is. But certainly if that's not the case, or if you're not sure whether or not you're right with God through Jesus Christ, be sure today. But for those who are, we can say, this is true for me. In my Father's house are many rooms. And so, or many mansions, some translations say. And to think that we will have a home in the Father's house. So the first point is we can have peace. Second, we can have peace knowing we will have a room, a dwelling place, a place to live. We're not just going to be in heaven and homeless. We will be in heaven and have a home. And each of us is going to have a place. And this place is in our Father's house. And I'd like to think about this idea of it being in our Father's house. Most of us grew up with pretty good dads, maybe even great dads. Now, it's likely, I don't know, but it's likely that some might not have had such good dads. Some of you, a few of you will remember a friend of mine named Gar Mabe. Gar and his wife Julie stayed here in Atlantic for 5 or 6 months, I think, in the mid-90s. Just early in my and Linda's years here. And Gar grew up with a violent dad. His dad would beat up Gar, would beat up Gar's mom, maybe his sister too, not sure. But he grew up with a father for whom love is not a very, it wasn't a loving relationship. He'd go out and get drunk and come home and beat him up. And so Gar didn't have the picture of a father that a lot of us have. And so when he was a teenager, he was invited to church, and he came to church and heard the preacher, and this preacher was saying that God loves you and wants a relationship with you. And he was so thrilled to hear that, that he was up in the balcony. He came running down, and was the an altar call was made. He was the first one to run to the front and say that he wanted to receive Christ as his Savior and to have a relationship with God through him and to know him, because he found he could have this heavenly Father who loved him, even if his earthly father was not so kind. And but for most of us, we look back to our childhood, and we've got some good and happy memories when we think about our fathers. And for a lot of us, our early childhood memories, some of the best ones are the family being together, maybe on trips. For me, I especially think of the dinner table, eating meals together, or sometimes it was going on hikes with my dad, or all sorts of things like that. Think of our Heavenly Father, who is even greater than the best of dads. You may have had a wonderful dad, but he's not as wonderful as our Heavenly Father. And we'll get to spend forever in his home. And you think growing up to go home, what a good feeling it is to get home, right? Even still today, I'll bet, for most of you, for me this is the case, and I'll bet that's true of you as well. You go somewhere for the weekend or go on a trip. Maybe even if it's just a wonderful vacation, by the time you get home, I'll bet you're glad to be home. Is that true of you? It's true of me. Lynn and I spent several weeks in Florida this past winter, but when we got home, I was glad to be home. I enjoyed it there, but home is home, and you're comfortable, and it's with people you love. And for all of eternity, we're going to be with our Heavenly Father who loves us and is the perfect Heavenly Father, and with our brothers and sisters. And guess what? You'll be even nicer there than you are here. And you guys are pretty nice. Where's Caslow? Most of you are pretty nice. Even Steve's fairly nice, and he'll be even nicer in heaven. And so will I be. We'll all be even nicer. We'll never argue. We'll never get upset with each other. We'll always enjoy being with each other. More to the point, we'll enjoy being with our Heavenly Father and with his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in a way, an experience that we can't have right now. But this will be our heavenly home in God's house. There's a popular Christian song, popular Christian music genre, about 20 or 30 years old, called Big House. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room, and a big, big table with lots and lots of food. And that's a pretty good picture of what a celebration it will be for all of eternity to be in the house of the Lord. This number four is the preparation of this house. If I go and prepare a place for you, who is preparing our place? It is the best preparer of everything. It's the Lord Jesus, who was a carpenter, by the way, right? Remember, a carpenter, and this carpenter, the perfect carpenter, is preparing our homes. One person has even remarked, if he created this earth in 6 days and he's had over 2,000 years to prepare our homes, well, we're living in a garbage dump compared to what that's going to be, right? Who said that? Heather, you know. Keith Green. Keith Green said that. Anyway, he's been preparing our home. And think of the beauty that there is outdoors. There's mountains and streams and lakes and fields and trees, all sorts of wonderful, beautiful things. And the same one who created all that is preparing your room in heaven, your home in heaven, and mine as well. It's going to be fantastic. I don't know what it'll be like. It'll be as big as we want it to be. It'll be decorated as nice as we like. It'll be astonishing, I'm sure. Best of all, he will be with us, and that we see there in fifth point. He says, that where I am, you may be also. He will be with us. So we will be with our brother, in a sense, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, and with our brothers and sisters, our adopted brothers and sisters, and with our Heavenly Father. And by the way, he says, I will take you to myself. Well, it's time for us to be with him. And who knows, maybe I won't make it back to Dubuque tonight. Maybe we'll all see each other in the air. That's what I hope. But just in case, don't worry, I'll have my eyes open and the hands on the wheel. But my hope is that the rapture will happen today and he'll come and take us to be with him. To this place where I am, you may be also. So we can have peace. We will have a place in our Father's house. He's preparing that place, and he will be with us there. He will be with us there. That leads me to another passage I'd like to look at, one that Doug just read from recently, from Marion Grant about Georgia. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we do rightly read that at, I don't know, probably seems like every funeral I've officiated, this verse has probably been read. And rightly so. And we're even told, encourage one another with these words in verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So it's perfectly appropriate to remind everybody of the words here. It sounds like in 1 Thessalonians, it sounds like maybe the Christians there are concerned about their loved ones who have died, who are in the Lord. That is, they are believers in Christ and they have died. And maybe these Christians in Thessalonica are wondering, am I ever going to see them again? I've had a godly Christian brother ask me, will we really know each other when we're in heaven? And he was really concerned about that. Will I know my wife up there? I think he had heard some preacher saying that we wouldn't, but it seems pretty clear to me from this passage, also in Luke chapter 16 in the parable of the unrighteous steward, it seems clear from these passages at least that we will absolutely know our loved ones when we are with the Lord. It's one of the great parts of our hope. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do those who have no hope. We do have hope. We can grieve rightly. It's fine to grieve, not for the loved one who passed away, but for ourselves, because if they are in Christ, they're better than they've ever been. They're in a great situation. No need to grieve for them, but for ourselves and for our loss. I think of my mom, who passed away coming up on 5 years ago this July. And what if the Lord does not come and I live a normal life? Let's say I'm almost 55, so let's say I live to 85. I would have gone 35 years without seeing my mom. That's kind of strange and hard to think about. My mom's mom died when mom was 35, so she went a lot of years, 45 years without seeing her mom. Some of you, it's even longer than that. And so strange to think of such things, but at least we know that I will see mom again, and I will see dad again, and Linda's father and mother, and so on. We don't grieve like those who have no hope of seeing their loved ones again. For some people, that they're gone, that's it. And so they rightly grieve in a way that we don't. We have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Some Christians are going to be alive on the day that this happens, and Jesus is going to come, and those who have already passed away, they will come down with the Lord down, I say, but they will come with the Lord, and their bodies will be resurrected from the grave. Then we will go up and be with the Lord as well. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. And there's that great truth. We will always be with the Lord. We don't have to worry that our time will be through, or that we get 100 years from with him and that's it, or a day or 1,000 years, always, forever. And we can comfort one another with these words, knowing that we will see these loved ones. Here's another thing about to think about heaven. Some people look at heaven, they think we're just going to be sitting around kind of bored. The picture is sometimes used of sitting in clouds playing harps. Well, some of us might be playing harps. I think it will be a musical time. I think it'll be a very much a celebration, a time of lots and lots of celebrations. And during this time, you know, eventually it's going to be the new heavens and the new earth, and, you know, everybody who will ever be saved are there, and no more people will be saved because, you know, that time is through. But in the meantime, lots of people are getting saved, and every day people are getting saved here around the world. Luke chapter 15 gives me this idea that there's going to be a whole lot of partying going on, holy parties in heaven. In Luke chapter 15, you see the three parables. The first one is the parable of the lost sheep, and this shepherd has 100 sheep, and one gets lost, and he goes and finds it. And it says, verse 6, "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And so Jesus, the shepherd here, is rejoicing that the lost sheep has been found. You can imagine in heaven, because again, it says there in verse 7, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. So you can imagine in heaven, maybe even Jesus calls us, and maybe he calls certain groups of people and says, "Hey, those of you from Atlantic, Iowa, come on over. We're going to have a party." This is just what I was, I'm not saying this is what it's going to be, but it could be something sort of like this, where he calls together, he puts up a video, and he shows, "There's this girl in Uganda, Sheila. Watch, the Holy Spirit is working in her heart, making her realize her sin and her absolute need for Jesus. And maybe we even get to watch this girl as she puts her faith in Jesus." I don't know. But maybe it's something like that. But there will be celebrating in heaven. And so we see it and we all celebrate. We shout and we high five and give people hugs. And most of all, we praise the Lord Jesus as we're watching this happen. I don't know if we'll watch that happen, but maybe. But whatever, there will be, I'm convinced, and is even today, celebration in heaven, joy over one sinner who repents. And again, you see this idea, him saying, "Rejoice, come rejoice with me." And you see a party later on in chapter 15, in Luke 15, when the prodigal son returns. And he says, "Bring the calf and fat," and did I say bring the calf and fat? "Bring the fattened calf." Thanks for noticing. Some of you are paying attention. That's good. "Bring the calf and fat and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. And they're having a big party over this lost son who is now found. And I think they celebrate in heaven as well, still today, when people who were lost are found. Very quickly, let's look at a couple of the main passages that tell us a lot about what the new heavens and the new earth will be like. Revelation 21 and 22, we'll just read a few verses, just thinking a little bit about what heaven will be like, but it'll be a joyful place. Behold, Revelation 21, starting with verse 3, the dwelling of God is with man, so he will be with us. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And all of us have had some heartaches of various degrees, of various types. Won't it be great to be done with that? When we think about loved ones who have passed away and we think, I won't see mom anymore for the next bunch of years. I won't see my sister anymore for a bunch of years. I won't see my friend anymore for a long time. We won't have to worry about that sort of thing. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. So we thought about great celebrating that's going to be going on, right? In Luke 15, we see that idea. Here we see there won't be the sadness. So we'll get rid of the bad and welcome the good. It's all going to be glory in eternity. And I saw no temple, verse 22, in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. Now, God is here with us, and he's everywhere with us. Wherever we go on the earth, he is there. But it's not as obvious for us to see, right? It's very easy to forget that he's right there with us. I don't think it'll be one bit easy to forget in the new heavens and the new earth. That's part of the idea I'm getting here, is that it's really obvious that he's there with us. Now, we know he's there with us right now, but it's a little more subtle. And the city has no need of sun or moon or shine on it, sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So it'll be a wonderful, glorious place. God will be there with us. A little bit from chapter 22. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river, the tree of life with 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face. Won't that be great to see his face? And so we look forward to that place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know I'm just kind of looking at a whole lot of passages, so feel free if you prefer just to listen. But 2 Corinthians 5, starting with verse 6, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we'd rather be there. And we've got some loved ones we're missing here. And the ones I've mentioned, and lots of others who have gone on to be with the Lord ahead of us, they are in a better situation, away from the body and at home with the Lord. And that'll be us someday, or in our glorified bodies if the rapture happens during our lifetimes. When we say, "Come, Lord Jesus." Whether we at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. And one more. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and 13. Hebrews 11, starting at verse 13. Hebrews 11, of course, is the great faith chapter, and Abel and Abraham and Moses and so on, great people of God who served him, obeyed him, had great faith. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they'd gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them, he has prepared for them a city, a heavenly country, a city prepared for them by God. And those heroes of the faith have that to look, they were able to look forward to that. And so can we in Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. We seek the city that is to come. And it's fine to enjoy life here. We should enjoy life here. I think it'd be insulting to the Lord to pretend like his creation is not beautiful, and to not enjoy the temporary blessings he has given. To a degree, we make sure we enjoy those. God has given us whatever degree of health he has given us. We should enjoy that and thank him for it. Whatever material possessions, we enjoy it and use them for his glory and for the well-being of others. Enjoy them. Enjoy the beauty of creation and so on. But so much more, we have things that are so much better, a place that is so much better than this earth, and it's not insulting to God to say that is better. This is good. That's so much. It's also evil, but there's so much good here to enjoy, but so much better there in that city that is to come. And so we can say, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. The Ladies' Home Journal, I heard a preacher mentioning this survey. Ladies' Home Journal, great scholarly work, had a survey of their readers, and they were asked, when you get to heaven, who do you want to see first? Who do you want to talk to first? 31% of them said, my mom. 16% said, I first want to talk to my dad. 10% said, the first one I want to talk to is my spouse. Is that kind of funny? It's kind of funny to me. And been married 50 years. I've talked to her enough. So I don't know how many said Jesus, but anyway, of course, it was maybe that wasn't even included. But 31%, 16%, 10% spouse. I hope that we would all say Jesus is the first one. Of course, we look forward to seeing other people that we love. But best of all will be to be with Jesus, and so we say, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. Dear Father, we do pray that. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. We know your timing is perfect, but we sure look forward to that day when we can get to be with you and with your Son, the Lord Jesus, in a much more direct way. We will also get to be with other loved ones who have passed on before us. Ones that we've mentioned and plenty of others from the chapel and from other parts of our lives, people that we miss. And we look forward to seeing them, Father. And we thank you for the comfort that we find in that and the hope that we have of seeing them someday. Oh, but so much greater it'll be to be with you, to be in a place without any sin where no one will mistreat us and where we won't mistreat anyone ourselves, and where we will relate to you perfectly and enjoy your presence and that of your Son and worship you and him and enjoy being with you for all of eternity. We look forward to the glory. We look forward to being away from the sin and the sorrow and the heartache that we have now, and we say, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. In the meantime, Lord, keep us faithful. Help us to live lives of holiness and purity, making the the using our time here on earth for your glory and for the well-being of others, that others might be drawn to you and to your Son, that when we are all in heaven, we will have so many who will have been blessed through us, you know, through our ministry, of all sorts of different ways. But we ask that you would cause us to be faithful while we also pray, come, Lord Jesus, quickly come. In his name we pray. Amen. Hi, Janet. Did you see my note?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, I didn't leave enough. I'll turn that.